Welcome to the podcast series from the National Centre for Research Methods at the University of Southampton. In today's podcast, we talk to Professor Jane Green from the University of Manchester about the British Election Study, what it is, how it works, and how it's being used to better understand how and why we vote the way we do.
The British Election Study is a social science project where we try to understand via surveys of the general population how people vote, why they vote the way they do, and why they don't vote, because we know that over time there has been a decrease in the number of people who are voting. The study is a means to understand the nature of electoral democracy, how it's working, and really, if it's not working, why it's not working.
So how does the study work from a nuts and bolts perspective? Who are you talking to? What are you talking to them about?
One of those things is to survey people, a very, very large sample of about 30,000 people, and we survey them on the internet, and we follow the same people over a period of 5 years. And so in seven surveys in that 5 year period, we ask them a survey which helps us to assess the kinds of issues they care about, the kinds of perspectives they hold, their attitudes towards politics, to politicians, to issues, their values. And by following the same people over that 5 year period, we can understand what makes them change their views or change their political preferences. So we can see how that process evolves over different elections and things that happen over that period. So it's not just the general election. Of course, in 2015, last year, we had local elections, European Parliament elections. There'll be local elections again in May, but there'll be Scottish and Welsh elections. And of course, the independence referendum in Scotland that also happened last year. So over those elections and over that period of time, we're able to assess exactly really what causes what, you know, what kind of impact different elections have and people's preferences have on their intentions to vote or to change their support across that time period.
The study also carries out a face-to-face survey after elections to get people's views and thoughts post-election. What's the purpose of that?
An in-person survey allows us to address many, many important intellectual questions, but it also provides a resource which allows us and anybody else that's interested to look at the way that people's decisions about elections and voting has changed over the entire series of the British Election Study, because there's always been a post-election in-person survey. And so we can compare those answers from 1964 until 2015.
Now, one of the key things that the study is focusing on in 2015 is representation and accountability. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Given that we have a coalition government, given that we have very significant devolution to Scotland and Wales and separate elections in Scotland and Wales, how do we understand the basis at which politicians are held accountable for things that might go well or things that might go badly? So an example of some of the questions we ask is questions about whether people think policy issues are going better or if they're going worse, and who do they think that's the result of? You know, is it the Conservatives in the coalition government, the Liberal Democrats in the coalition government? Is it the last Labour government? Is it the Scottish government? Is it the Welsh government if respondents are in Scotland or in Wales? And so we're trying to really ascertain just what impact the attribution of responsibility for blame or for credit, where that lies, and how different people assign blame and credit, depending on where they are and depending on how they make sense of the clarity of responsibility for different policy decisions or otherwise, because I think many people aren't clear, and that's part of the challenge.
What about this whole question of how well British politics, policies and parties are representing the general public? There's a lot of concern about this.
So we really want to understand how well is British politics and British parties representing the electorate, and how has the electorate changed, and how have the political parties' policies changed, and what are the results of those or potential mismatches between those things or potential alignments of those things. So we ask people about their opinions on issues and where they place parties on issues. And we know a lot about where people live and what kind of experiences they've had in terms of economic difficulties, unemployment, experience of working in the public sector and those kinds of things in areas where those kinds of contexts will be really important.
What about this whole question of how disaffected, disengaged, disenfranchised, whatever you want to call it, we've all become with politics? What's your take on that? And what does the British Election Study help us understand about that?
Many people have been concerned, looking at British elections over consecutive elections, about whether or not we really have a crisis insofar as people are less likely to vote, but also insofar as there seems to be a lot of alienation, disillusionment, and disengagement with not just political parties or some political parties, but also with the political process. So we ask people how they feel about voting, how they feel about elections, how they feel about politicians.
Now, the study's been running since the early 60s. As you said, what would you say have been some of the real highlights in terms of what's come out of it?
I always like to think about questions about the BES's relevance and its impact and contribution in the following way, which is to say, if we didn't have the British Election Study, what wouldn't we know? Without the British Election Study in Britain, we wouldn't have any informed idea of the reasons for the fragmentation of the two-party system in Britain, the tendency people have now to vote for other parties. We wouldn't understand why, when, and how the nature of the strong attachments that people have with political parties in Britain has weakened over time. We wouldn't understand how the social basis of the vote, so whether people's class position, how that relates to their choice for one of the major parties or now one of the minor parties. We wouldn't understand whether it changed, how much it changed, the basis of how to measure that, how to understand it. There are so many important insights that the British Election Study has brought in terms of understanding the relationship of what parties have done in terms of changing their ideological positions, how that's changed the basis of the vote, why that happened. For example, the declining size of Labour's working class base and why that might have led Labour to move towards the centre of British politics, the nature of the transmission of political attitudes and affiliations between generations. And that's not even mentioning the individual insights about each of the specific elections that the British Election Study has covered since 1964.
Well, talking of specific elections, we're obviously just weeks away from the 2015 general election, as you mentioned, and it really does look set to be a very interesting one. In terms of this election, what has the study been focusing in on?
This is just such a privileged time to be part of the British Election Study. We have one of the most fascinating, unpredictable and possibly important elections to understand, I think, in a very long time. And the major focus, I think, for us, and really for many observers of British elections, is to try to understand why it is that voters in Britain seem more likely in 2015, and significantly more likely, to split their votes across several political parties. And so we are trying to look at a long-term perspective, looking over the whole history of the British Election Study to see how changes in the electorate, changes in what the parties have done, the sort of demand side of those explanations of what voters want and where they are and where they stand and how they've changed, and the supply side of what the political parties have been offering, to look to understand how those things combine and help us understand the fact that people will vote, I think, for a wider choice set, a wider variety of political parties in this election. And we might not see that borne out in seats, but I think we'll see it borne out in votes. So that's one of the really important focuses of our study.
Are there one or two key things that have emerged already as far as this election is concerned?
One of the things that I looked at was asking the question, is UKIP really appealing and winning votes from those who have been disengaged in politics? Has the success of these minor parties helped us to sort of alleviate some of those concerns that we had about people persistently failing to feel that they had a viable choice, a party that stood for them in a general election? What I found is that no, that wasn't the case. It wasn't the case that UKIP was really appealing to those people who've been disengaged. It's appealing to previous voters of different parties. People have become disillusioned. The Greens were more successful in reaching those people who have not been so inclined to vote in recent general elections. That doesn't mean it's solved the problem, because the Green Party's support is relatively small. My colleagues have been looking at whether or not the support for UKIP is stable, or whether it's actually quite volatile. And that seems to be the case, that many people are coming to support the party, but many people are also changing their minds. One of my colleagues has been looking at the effect of leadership evaluations, finding that Nigel Farage has a very strong effect on UKIP support, But he has to keep on maintaining that strong support because people are joining the party, but people are also deciding not to vote for UKIP, and there's a lot of movement in that support.
Finally, I wonder who can access this data, this information from the British Election Study? Is it just researchers with specialist skills, or can anyone with an interest in polling and politics make use of this, you know, incredibly wonderful resource?
One of the aims that we had when we took on the British Election Study was to try to democratise this process, you know, to try to make sure that British Election Study data wasn't the preserve of those people that, you know, sat in academic institutions with access to either training or statistical software. So we launched a new British Election Study website. And on that website, we launched a new tool called the BES Data Playground. So you can find it by going to britishelectionstudy.com. And through the data playground, anybody can use the data. It's a very intuitive, easy to use resource. So you go on there, you decide what you'd want to look at, you can plot graphs, and then behind the graphs, you can see the data on which the graphs are built on. So they're drawing directly from the British Election Study data. So it's no longer the case that you have to have an academic degree, an institution, software to analyse British Election Study data. Now anybody can do that if they'd like to.
Professor Jane Green was talking to Christine Garrington about the British Election Study, which is run by a consortium of universities from Manchester, Oxford and Nottingham, and is funded by the ESRC. You can find out more at www.britishelectionstudy.com.